Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. Are you a fearful avoidant and you're having trouble making sense of exactly what your internal world is experiencing after a heated argument, let alone figuring out exactly how to put things back together and resolve conflict? Well, if this sounds like you, or if you are the loved one of a fearful avoidant, better trying to understand their internal world, their heart, their mind, after an argument, I like to think about the fearful avoidant when it comes to arguments as essentially going through three major stages. And at the end of this video too, by the way, I'm going to take you through something you can do to really solve for a pain point or a challenging argument or situation. So the very first thing that tends to happen when a fearful avoidant is in an argument is towards the end of it, if it's left feeling unresolved, they're usually quite furious. They're very angry. They're very frustrated. And really underneath a lot of this frustration is hurt. But fearful avoidants become very furious and enraged when they're hurt, but they're also helpless. And it's actually more that they're hurt and they're reacting with anger to their own feelings of helplessness for how to be seen or heard or understood, or how to regulate their own emotions, or how to feel like they're really moving through an argument in a more productive way. But that feeling of helplessness makes them feel so frustrated. And that's really the first stage. And generally, when a fearful avoidant gets approached while they're still in this anger stage to try to solve for the argument or put things back together, usually the only thing the fearful avoidant wants to do is push somebody away. So if you are a fearful avoidant listening to this, it's going to be really important that you recognize that you need a little bit of breathing room after an argument. Now, by breathing room, I don't mean days, and I definitely don't even mean hours. Oftentimes, about 15 to 30 minutes of really good space helps a fearful avoidant simmer down in this space. And I want to be really clear about this. This is not me saying, as somebody who was fearful avoidant before doing the work and becoming securely attached, this is not me saying like, oh, fearful avoidants are just angry. You know, what I'm actually saying is there's a tremendous amount of trauma that fearful avoidants are usually carrying. They have a lot of core wounds. They don't believe that they can get their needs met by other people because history usually demonstrates to them that their needs are not going to be met by other people, and they're kind of on their own to figure it out. And so imagine, you know, if you're not the fearful avoidant yourself, imagine what it would feel like to feel like you've got lots of core wounds. You felt trapped and helpless and powerless and unsafe, and you're afraid of being betrayed or abandoned. And all these things are stirring inside of you, but you feel like you can't really communicate them to somebody. And you feel like you can't really ask for what you need because it feels too unsafe to be vulnerable, or you're assuming you're not going to get those needs met anyways. Of course, you're really hurt and helpless. And of course, that's going to make you feel frustrated. So that's sort of the first stage. And really, the requirement in this stage is to have a little bit of space to process. I know sometimes fearful avoidance, especially leaning anxious, want to like kind of solve for things in the moment, but there can be periods of time where it's counterproductive if you're not getting anywhere, okay? And to be clear about this video too, we're not talking about like while in an argument. I have a lot of communication videos on this channel about what to do while you're in an argument, but I'm really clearly trying to depict, you know, the stages after an argument hasn't been resolved and then how we can get back on track basically. So the first stage is this kind of frustrated, angry stage. The second stage is when that space happens, usually a fearful avoidant can then process their own hurt. So then they start to become aware that like, okay, I'm actually feeling really hurt. And fairly soon after feeling that hurt, the fearful avoidant often becomes kind of anxious feeling. Now they may activate from the anxiety or deactivate, right? The fearful avoidant may be like, oh, I feel anxious. Let me try to reach out and try to fix this again. But they may also go, I feel anxious. I don't want to feel vulnerable and anxious to this person. I'm going to shut down further. But that piece is that sort of anxiety provoking piece. Where they're kind of like longing to solve for the argument they're worried about maybe missing the person or losing the person from their lives a little bit. Some of those abandonment fears can kind of come up. And in this stage, after there's been about 30 minutes of space post-argument, it's actually a great time for fearful avoidants to to receive physical affection. If somebody comes and gives them a hug after an argument, you know, a partner gives them a hug, sometimes fearful avoidants have a hard time speaking through language if they haven't done a lot of internal work yet, because there's a lot to unpack there. But sometimes speaking through touch can be really beneficial. And I will be, I want to be clear, if fearful avoidant's still really angry, they may want, you know, even less physical touch. So there is this sort of pivotal point at which that shifts. But usually if you're the loved one of a fearful avoidant trying to sort of recognize this, you'll see that there's a bit of a softening, right? That there's a little bit more vulnerability there, even if it's not in their words and what they're sharing. It's in their body language, you know, it's in their tone of voice. It's in the way that they're kind of making eye contact a little bit more, looking for connection in various different ways. And so from this space, if a fearful avoidant can be touched, you know, hand is held, hand on the leg, you know, given a hug, things like that, it actually helps to really soothe this person and make them feel a little bit more safe to try to be vulnerable again.
Are you ready to transform your relationships and find lasting love? Unlock access to our empowering courses and simple to implement tools that are giving our members the breakthroughs that they've been looking for. Better yet, get 60% off your first month. And you can do it all right from the comfort of your own home. Start building the best relationships of your life now. This offer ends soon, so click the link in the description.
And then this brings us to stage three, which is the fearful avoidant goes through this internal battle between their anxious and avoidant side. Part of them feels like, I want closeness. Part of them feels like they still aren't ready to bring the person close and they want to push the person away. And I like to think of this stage after an argument as like this internal conflict stage where they have really mixed emotions going back and forth about, you know, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, what to do next. And this really brings us to this major point of this video, which is if you are the fearful avoidant, what do you need? Or if you're the loved one of a fearful avoidant, how can you help solve for this as you're seeing them move through these stages to get them out of this doubtful stage, this hurt, frustrated set of stages prior to that and into a place of resolution, of peace, of reconnecting? And the biggest things that are so important, and I'll make a whole separate video on this topic, but is to validate a fearful avoidance feelings first. Okay. Fearful avoidance feel like they can trust again when they feel like their feelings are validated, because it feels like their perspective is understood and it meets these deep needs that a fearful avoidant has to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel connected, to feel like they matter, because space is being made for them. And a lot of fearful avoidants grew up feeling like there wasn't really space being made for them. And so this is hugely beneficial and really reaches them. And so after you've validated the fearful avoidant, and by the way, if you're the FA listening to this, please ask for emotional validation from your partner. Say things. We call them asking for empathy statements. It can be things like, hey, we don't have to agree right now, but in the very least, I just need to know that you can see why I'm hurt or that you can understand where I'm at least coming from. And these asking for empathy statements take us out of this idea of like right and wrong in conflict and put us into, we just want to be seen and heard. We can see and hear each other despite having a difference of opinion. We can still understand each other's unique perspectives and pain points. So getting your feelings validated and then asking for transparent communication. I want to understand why you did what you did, or I want to understand what led up to this from your side, right? And what we're asking for here is the thing that you feel conflicted about. If you're the fearful avoidant, maybe somebody didn't call you back. You know, that you're asking, hey, I just want to understand why you didn't call back. I want to know what's going on. Because if a fearful avoidant understands this, they're going to get out of this cycle of giving it painful meaning instead. So often fearful avoidants will say things to themselves like, oh, they didn't call back because they don't care about me, rather than giving the actual meaning, which, or understanding the actual meaning, which might have been, hey, I was stuck on a phone call with one of my parents and there was an urgent issue that we had to talk about. And that's why I didn't call back in time. You know, sometimes getting the reality can be a big relief compared to the stories we're telling in our heads. And so, you know, getting that information transparently goes such a long way for conflict resolution. And then to communicate openly about what are the next steps to solve for this conflict. How do we prevent this from happening again? Hey, can you shoot me a text next time if you're stuck on a phone call and can't give me a shout back? You know, having an actual action step or strategy helps things feel fully solved for. So those are your three stages combined with a set of three steps to help you know how to resolve conflict a little bit. I'll make a separate video just about fearful avoidance and the biggest things needed after an argument, but I hope this was helpful for you. I hope this is a good place to start.